Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The Ethics of Ambiguity by Simone de Beauvoir, a seminal work that navigates the complex landscape of existentialist thought and its ethical implications in our lives. Written in 1947, this book stands as a cornerstone in existential philosophy, offering a profound reflection on the human condition and our inherent freedom. Simone de Beauvoir, a towering figure in French intellectual circles, was not only a philosopher but also a writer, activist, and feminist. Her extensive body of work spans literature, social commentary, and biography, but she is best remembered for her influential contributions to existentialism and feminism, notably through her groundbreaking work, The Second Sex. Her expertise and insight into human existence and freedom provide a rich foundation for The Ethics of Ambiguity. This book is an essential read for those intrigued by philosophical reflections on what it means to be human. It is especially relevant for activists looking to inform their efforts with a deeper ethical understanding, and anyone interested in exploring the essence of human freedom and what we can do with it. Through de Beauvoir's insightful analysis, readers are invited to confront the ambiguity of existence and are empowered to navigate it with ethical responsibility. Join us as we unpack the enduring relevance of de Beauvoir's ideas and their profound implications for our lives today. The Ethics of Ambiguity, a foundational text of existentialist philosophy. Introduction. Navigating the maze of freedom to unlock your potential. Have you ever paused to consider the sheer magnitude of choices you face every day? From the moment you wake until you retreat into slumber, your life is a series of decisions. The act of choosing to read about philosophy, at this very second, is a testament to the freedom that underpins our existence. Yet, amidst this vast expanse of freedom, one can't help but ponder, are we genuinely steering our lives towards our aspirations, or are we merely actors playing out roles written by others? These reflections slice to the heart of our ethical existence, posing dilemmas that have puzzled humanity for ages. Born from the depths of existentialist thought, the insights we're about to unravel derive from a seminal work dated back to 1947, offering a bridge to navigate these turbulent waters. This journey is not about prescribing answers, but enabling you to forge a personal path to self-determination and meaning. Through the lens of this philosophical voyage, you will discover the archetype you resemble in Simone de Beauvoir's ethical classification of individuals, how historical figures such as Salazar exemplify the misuse of autonomy and public trust, and the intricate debates surrounding the justification of violence. Embark on this exploration to not only identify your place in de Beauvoir's moral landscape, but also to challenge and redefine the narrative of your life. This is more than a quest for knowledge. It's an invitation to claim your freedom, to craft your destiny with intention, and to realize your untapped potential. Part 1. The Enigma of Human Nature, Embracing Existential Ambiguity. What does it truly entail to be a part of the human race? This question ushers us into a labyrinth of considerations. Are we intellects adrift in contemplation, or creatures driven by primal instincts? Do we navigate our lives through cold, calculated logic, or are we mere threads in the tapestry of societal constructs? Unraveling the essence of human existence is no straightforward task. At the core of our exploration is a profound truth. Human existence is fundamentally ambiguous. Philosophers throughout history have grappled with humanity's elusive nature, often finding our self-perception to be a puzzle that's perpetually reassembling itself. Many sought to simplify this complexity, branding humans either as rational beings akin to animals or as souls eternal, according to scientific humanism or Christian theology, respectively. However, each attempt to singularly define what it means to be human inevitably feels constricting, akin to donning a garment that never quite fits right. urging us to break free from its confines. Enter existentialism, which charts a divergent path by sidestepping the temptation to pigeonhole human existence. Rather than negating the inherent complexity that defines us, existentialism celebrates it. It posits that human identity cannot, and should not, be constrained by definitive labels. Our self-perception and the significance we attribute to our lives are eternally in motion, never anchored but always evolving. In one instance, you might find identity in being a partner, and in another, your essence might be inextricably linked to parenthood. You could view yourself as a dedicated employee in one breath and as a global citizen in the next. This fluidity of existence, this absence of a static nature, is what existentialists refer to when they declare that humans are fundamentally no thing. Unlike objects, which remain static, we are in a constant state of flux, forever evolving beyond what we were a moment ago. This concept may prove frustrating for those seeking a clear-cut definition of humanity. Yet, this very ambiguity is what liberates us. It heralds a radical form of freedom, offering us the canvas to reinterpret ourselves endlessly. Our ability to envision new futures for ourselves and to tirelessly pursue them allows us to sculpt our existence, transforming into whoever we aspire to be. Part 2. Existentialism. Crafting life's meaning through personal freedom and reflection. After uncovering the mutable essence of human nature, a pressing query arises. What direction should we steer this ever-evolving self? Essentially, what is the blueprint for living a fulfilling life? In the vast expanse of moral philosophies and religious doctrines, answers are readily supplied. A follower of Christianity might advocate for benevolence towards others, while a hedonist could emphasize the pursuit of personal pleasure as the ultimate goal. While these doctrines might diverge in their teachings, they share a common thread, an attempt to distill the complexity of human existence into a set of universal rules and values. However, existentialism dares to challenge this notion. At its core, existentialism highlights personal freedom to determine your own life and values sets it apart from most moral doctrines. Acknowledging life's intricacies, existentialism doesn't offer a one-size-fits-all ethical playbook. Instead, it recognizes the nuanced and often complex scenarios we face, rejecting the simplification offered by rigid moral guidelines. Existentialism invites us to treat each situation as distinct, urging deep reflection before action. It posits that adhering blindly to predefined rules can lead to unethical outcomes by stifling critical thinking. This was exemplified tragically by the young Nazis, who, without questioning their party's dogma, committed atrocities in the name of those decrees. Consider the moral quandary of a friend struggling with addiction, requesting funds to fuel their habit. The decision isn't clear-cut. Contributing could perpetuate their self-destruction, while refusal might drive them towards more hazardous means of obtaining drugs. Here, classical moral dictates like generosity or the pursuit of happiness offer little guidance for navigating such a dilemma. For existentialists, it's not about finding a universally correct answer, but understanding that the choices we make are our own responsibility. The value lies in conscientiously deliberating our options, fully aware that our decisions shape not just our lives but also the world around us. This approach underscores existentialism's respect for individual autonomy and the significance of personal judgment in crafting a life of meaning. Part 3. Unveiling the spectrum of human freedom and maturity. From the innocence of childhood, where the world is presented to us as a series of unquestionable truths and moral absolutes, to the disillusioning journey into adulthood, we all traverse the complex path of awakening. This journey reveals the fallibility of our guardians, the debatable nature of indisputable facts, and the malleability of the values we once accepted without hesitation. Within this rite of passage lies a profound realization about the nature of our freedom, a concept Simone de Beauvoir delves into with her moral taxonomy of people. It illustrates a sobering truth. Not all of us fully embrace the vast expanse of freedom available to us, often failing to achieve our greatest potential. A primary barrier is the state of maturity, or rather the lack thereof. Many remain ensnared in a state of underdevelopment, unable to fully grasp or utilize the freedom at their fingertips. At the root of this taxonomy is the subman, characterized by apathy or a sheer lack of desire to venture beyond the comfort zone. This individual remains blissfully unaware of his potential for freedom, content with stagnation and thus aligning more closely with the inanimate than the animate. Ascending the ladder, we encounter the serious man. This individual is markedly more engaged, actively pursuing goals deemed worthy. Yet he fails to see the subjective nature of his pursuits, mistaking his personal ethos for an objective truth. This blind adherence to a subjective moral code renders him analogous to a sheep following without question. The nihilist stands on a higher rung, armed with the realization that all values hold subjective weight. However, this acknowledgement spirals into a cynicism that dismisses all endeavors as fundamentally meaningless, leading to a passive nihilism that shuns constructive action. In contrast, the adventurer embraces the subjectivity of values as liberating, diving headfirst into a myriad of self-selected ventures. Yet, this freedom is tinted with a shade of amoral self-indulgence, with little regard for the ripple effects of one's actions on the broader tapestry of society. But true freedom, as de Beauvoir posits, isn't merely about self-fulfillment in isolation. Our freedom is inextricably linked to the liberty of others, our cultural landscape, the resources that fuel our ambitions, and the very essence of our coexistence rely on this mutual safeguarding of freedom. Hence, when the adventurer evolves to balance her zest for life with a genuine concern for the well-being of others, she ascends to the epitome of humanity, the genuinely free person. It's in this balance that one finds the true essence of freedom, a realization that our greatest potential is unlocked not only through personal liberation, but in lifting others alongside us. Part 4. The illusion of disinterested objectivity in art and politics. Picture yourself heeding a friend's suggestion to explore a new genre of music or a film outside your usual preferences. You approach this new experience with an open mind, attempting to momentarily set aside your personal tastes and biases for a clear, unbiased evaluation. This endeavor mirrors the approach many critics adopt towards art, striving for disinterested contemplation, an aesthetic principle advocating the separation of one's subjective leanings to appreciate art purely on its own merits. Yet, here lies a fundamental flaw. Achieving a completely disinterested perspective is, in essence, an unattainable ideal. This message strikes at the heart of a broader issue: the fallacy of claiming a disinterested stance, particularly within the realms of intellectual discourse, scientific inquiry, and creative expression when faced with political turmoil and societal upheavals. The notion of retreating into one's professional or creative enclave, feigning neutrality during times of moral crisis, is a seductive but fundamentally misguided posture. This tendency to feign neutrality was notably prevalent among certain intellectuals and public figures in Paris during the Nazi occupation. Opting to focus on their work rather than confront the oppressive regime, they rationalized their inaction with the belief that shifts in power were but transient episodes in the grand tapestry of history. Their reluctance to engage, to take a stand, drew sharp criticism from thinkers like Simone de Beauvoir, who saw such neutrality as nothing short of complicity. De Beauvoir's critique underscores the impossibility of true detachment. Our endeavors to assume a disinterested position are tantamount to an illusion, a belief in our ability to transcend our inherent subjectivity and view the world from a non-existent neutral ground. While in the sphere of art, the ramifications of such a stance may manifest as skewed critiques or biased interpretations, the stakes are significantly higher in the political arena. To claim neutrality in the face of injustice is, in effect, to choose a side, whether by omission or commission. It's an evasion of moral responsibility, a silent endorsement of the status quo. Thus, the concept of disinterested objectivity, whether in evaluating art or navigating the political landscape, is revealed as not only unfeasible, but ethically problematic. Our perspectives are inextricably bound to our identities, experiences, and our place in the social fabric. Acknowledging this interconnectedness forms the basis for genuine engagement and responsible action in our world. Part 5: The Ethical Imperative to Combat Oppression. A common critique levied against existentialism concerns its seemingly boundless notion of freedom. Critics ask, can we really do anything we desire? Surely limitations exist. For instance, changing the weather or toppling a government single-handedly remains beyond our reach. In response, existentialists delineate a nuanced view. Humans possess absolute freedom in their capacity to choose, but face significant constraints in actualizing these choices into tangible outcomes. This acknowledgement does not, however, absolve individuals of the duty to act against injustice. This brings us to a pivotal insight. We have a responsibility to resist oppression wherever it emerges. The constraints on our freedom manifest in two primary forms: the physical boundaries set by the natural world and the barriers imposed by fellow human beings. Consider the example of a natural disaster, like an earthquake, destroying your home. This event undoubtedly restricts your freedom, but lacks the moral dimension present when another human being imposes limitations upon you. From an existentialist perspective, oppression occurs when one group dictates the fate of another, imposing their will and curtailing the latter's autonomy. This imposition not only infringes on their freedom to shape their destiny, but also metaphorically reduces them to inanimate objects, stripping away their essence as human beings. Oppression benefits the oppressor, cloaking itself under the guise of natural order to maintain dominance. History is replete with instances where the ruling class has rationalized its control over others through alleged superiority or predestined authority, from the colonization of indigenous lands to the systemic subjugation of women. These justifications crumble under scrutiny, especially when considering the lengths to which dominant groups go to preserve the status quo, be it through denying education, withholding economic opportunities, or restricting political autonomy to prevent the oppressed from realizing their subjugation. The circular logic of oppression, serving both as its own cause and misguided justification, is inherently flawed and morally reprehensible. Whether it's women, indigenous communities, or any marginalized group, the active suppression of their potential and denial of autonomy is not an immutable reality, but a constructed one, deserving of resistance and change. It underscores an ethical call to action, an obligation to confront and dismantle the structures of oppression, affirming our collective humanity and the indomitable spirit of freedom that defines it. Part 6: Putting People Above Ideals, a Human-Centric Approach to Justice. Throughout history, oppressors have wielded various narratives to legitimize their dominion over others. Beyond invoking the natural order of things, a pervasive technique has been justifying oppression through its supposed utility for higher causes. This tactic, while acknowledging the plight of the oppressed, claims such suffering is requisite for achieving some loftier principle, whether it's national integrity, economic stability, or an idyllic societal future. From the fascist regimes extolling national culture, to socialist states heralding a communist paradise, and democratic capitalist societies championing economic priorities, the underlying motif remains disturbingly consistent. Individuals are often relegated behind abstract concepts. A pressing insight emerges from these reflections. Real, concrete individuals should always come before abstract ideals. The mid-20th century reign of Portuguese dictator Antonio Salazar provides a stark illustration. In pursuit of glorifying national culture and heritage, Salazar embarked on extensive, expensive restorations of the country's ancient castles. One particularly egregious project in Obidos was funded at the significant expense of local health care, leading to the closure of the town's maternity hospital. Meanwhile, an initiative near Coimbra intended to create a children's community saw its budget so excessively allocated to architectural authenticity that only 4 children could be accommodated. Salazar's actions betray a troubling misalignment of priorities, placing abstract notions of tradition and national pride above the welfare of living, breathing individuals. This scenario begs the question: if cultural or national heritage holds any significance, shouldn't its primary value lie in enriching the lives of the people it's meant to represent? This axiom holds true for other grand narratives justifying human cost for abstract ends, be it the Soviet pursuit of a utopian future or capitalist democracies sacrificing social well-being at the altar of economic growth. When real humans are subordinated to these lofty yet intangible ideals, the ideals themselves become hollow, revealing the oppressor's logic as not only flawed but fundamentally inhumane. Leaders who subordinate the tangible needs and rights of individuals to serve ideological constructs promote a doctrine that, in essence, devalues the very ideals they purport to uphold. By placing abstractions before people, they perpetuate a cycle of oppression under the guise of a higher cause, forgetting that the most profound societal ideals are those that prioritize human dignity and freedom at their core. Part 7. Navigating the ethical landscape of violence in the fight against oppression. The principle that the welfare of living individuals should precede abstract ideologies leads us to confront the harsh realities of combating oppressive regimes. Historically, scenarios where oppressors sacrifice human lives in the altar of greater causes, whether under socialist or fascist banners, present a moral quandary. How do we resist such tyranny? The prospect of violence often emerges as a contentious option, with many fearing it reduces us to the level of our oppressors. However, under certain dire circumstances, violence may not only be considered, but justified. A complex truth unfolds. Violence is sometimes justified, but only under very specific circumstances. When faced with oppression, the choices are stark: to endure the inflicted violence passively or to counter it with force. This brings to mind the excruciating choice of an enslaved individual between submission and rebellion. Historical events such as the American Civil War underscore the tragic necessity of violence in achieving the noble objective of abolishing slavery, requiring sacrifices for the sake of a just future. Yet, herein lies a profound ethical dilemma. The struggle against oppression through violence risks mirroring the oppressor's tactics, potentially becoming what it seeks to destroy. John Dos Passos's novel, Adventures of a Young Man, serves as a thought-provoking exploration of this moral conundrum. Faced with the life-or-death situation of miners involved in a strike, the protagonist must choose between saving the miners via legal avenues or exploiting their potential martyrdom for revolutionary propaganda. His decision to prioritize the miners' lives reflects a critical ethical stance. Tangible human welfare must always take precedence over abstract benefits to a cause. This narrative imparts a vital lesson for any movement considering violence as a tool against oppression: the necessity of restraint, and the commitment to employing violence only as an absolute last resort. Such decisions must be consistently evaluated against the backdrop of real, immediate human needs and aimed towards concrete, achievable objectives. In essence, while violence might occasionally emerge as a justified response to tyranny, it demands rigorous ethical scrutiny, ensuring that the recourse to force remains tightly bound to the defense and liberation of real individuals from the clutches of oppression. Final summary: the essence of existentialism can be distilled into a powerful guiding principle. Individuals thrive in environments that respect and nurture their capacity for autonomy, self-reflection, and personal growth. This philosophical stance champions the idea that personal freedom and responsibility are the cornerstones of a meaningful existence. Unlike many ethical frameworks that prescribe a one-size-fits-all approach to morality, existentialism celebrates the uniqueness of each person, advocating for a life of self-fashioned purpose and values. At its heart, existentialism posits that the value of life and the criteria for ethics stem from the lived experiences of real, tangible individuals. It critically examines and often rejects societal constructs, political ideologies, or moral doctrines that prioritize abstract concepts or collective objectives over the well-being of individual humans. This perspective underscores the belief that true value and meaning in life are derived not from adhering to external dictates, but from authentic engagement with one's own existence. In summary, existentialism offers not just a philosophical outlook, but a call to action, to live authentically, to recognize and embrace one's freedom, and to make choices that reflect one's true self, all while acknowledging the weight of personal responsibility that accompanies such freedom. It is a reminder that humanity, with all its diversity and complexity, should always hold precedence over abstract ideals or collective ambitions. Existentialism, then, is fundamentally about affirming the sanctity of individual life and the pursuit of meaning on one's own terms, challenging us to consider the profound impact of our actions on the real, breathing world around us. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.